Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you from God the Father,
God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
The reading for this morning that I'd like to share with you is from Matthew. It's from the 20th chapter, starting with the 25th verse. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Dear Christian friends, maybe at first you wonder, how do those two readings relate? To me, there is a relationship in terms of how we think about ourselves in Christ. Have you ever wondered, as you walk the campus, who is really the greatest in the kingdom? Or as you've seen people do things that don't fit your particular mold, you really know they're not the greatest in the kingdom. How could they be? They're not doing it your way. Have you ever had the experience of what you call sharing those differences with fellow students or whoever you happen to be talking to, and it comes out like gossip? It begins to spread. It begins to ferment like yeast. And if you're told about it, you'll say, "I had to share this out of good conscience," forgetting only one thing: not to share it first with the person that you're talking about. In the Matthew text, it's very explicit as far as I'm concerned. The two sons of Zebedee walked up and said they wanted the greatest position in the kingdom of God as they saw it. They wanted the best, number one, number two spot. And if you read the text yourselves again, you notice how Christ deals with that. He tells them a lot of things, but one thing you notice too about the disciples, they weren't very happy about that. To put it mildly, they were steamed. The nerve of somebody thinking they are so great that they should stand number one, number two, spot with God. The nerve of them thinking they belong there instead of me. The nerve of them beating me to the punch. I know that's my position. How dare you ask about it? Indignant is a mild word in the translation. But Christ says a lot of things. He said, now, if you want to be great in this kingdom, if you really want to be great, you're going to have to follow my example. Oh, not about my deity, not about being eternal, not about the power that I have, but by being a servant. I still wonder why, in translation, they don't like the word slave. Because a slave had no rights. You had to be like a slave. To be great meant to put aside all claims to oneself. Put aside how great I am, how wonderful I am. Can't you tell? You guys are sitting lower than I am. I have to be greater. I'm even standing taller. Can't you notice? But put aside all this tomfoolery and really understand, what is serving God all about? It's not a game. It's not one-upmanship. It's a privilege. A beautiful privilege of having been called, and I guess I like to think of it not as being like a sand on a seashore and then made into something very beautiful. I like to think of mud. I don't like mud. It's stuff I don't like on my clothes or shoes, especially if you're from, well, not from, like where my wife's state is, Georgia, where it's red clay, and it really gets into your clothes, it almost eats it. mud and clay turned me off. I like to think of us being like that before God got to us, before he did his change, before he came into us, not by request either. Before he, out of his grace, said, I love you, I have given you my spirit. And that no longer being mud, no longer being something like a reject of rejects, you become a gem, a pearl, a ruby, whatever you think is precious, but only by the grace of God. If you want to be great, you got to remember your roots. Look on the kingdom of God and look in this Christian business, where are your roots? There aren't any. You didn't get in here by having them. God gave us. He engrafted us. He has the roots. He's the vine. We have the privilege of being there. Who's the greatest one in the vine? Christ. Why were we engrafted? To exalt Christ, not ourselves. Why do we live our Christian lives? To give glory to Christ, not ourselves. Why are we here? Study. Not only to study Greek and try and pass courses we don't think are necessary sometimes. Not only to get through a quarter and say I can get my district aid or whatever aid you get or just make it through. But to learn about the gospel of Jesus Christ in a very interesting way that you can communicate that love. You can live it and understand that when you talk about the cross, it's not just a thing, but an event. Something significant happened in Christ coming in this world, taking on our flesh, suffering and dying and rising again. And then, to put the icing on the cake, didn't just ascend and say, that's it. But had that word spread that we can gather here by his Spirit's calling and be called Christians. Who is the greatest? The greatest one in the kingdom of God has to be God. Among servants, slaves, there never was a rank of greatness. A slave is a slave. And we should call it a privilege to be called slaves of God. Paul did. Peter did. They never had a problem with the word. Who's the greatest? Christ is. And if we want to imitate Christ, then that epistle lesson, or I'll call it an epistle lesson, becomes relevant. And how do we show this? Not by backbiting, not by rumor mongering, not by declaring ourselves better than the rest, not by bringing your private cloud that you walk not quite on the campus but above others, but by remembering that we are fallen sinners, but by the grace of God, forgiven sinners. If we can think about the forgiveness, the grace that God has given us, then when we speak, we don't have to worry about debarring one another. We don't have to concern ourselves about, oh, that side must be bad because they're on that side. This is the good side. I can see. I'm on this side. We can do the honest thing and say, love one another, as Christ said, even as I have loved you. That's not easy. It takes the power of God to love people you don't understand. But the power of God is there. That's the whole point. It's not absent. It's there. It enables us to do what seems to be impossible. Well, he did the impossible, didn't he? Mud into a ruby? You ever try that? I defy you to do what God has done, to make something out of nothing. I like the creation story, too, for that reason. God made the whole creation out of nothing. Want to know the truth? He did the same thing with us. Then who's the greatest? God is. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May that greatness of God, not of ourselves, prevail in our lives. That when the temptation comes, and it will, to lift ourselves up and be something like Charlie Brown, who never does quite hit the ground, he just kind of floats across a comic strip. When that temptation comes, that we can exalt ourselves remember the mud, the nothingness, and the grace of God that made us something. And then, how Christ puts it very nicely, whosoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life a ransom for many. Serving in love, serving for Christ's sake, parity among all is the name of the game, not who is the greatest. And in loving, there's loving correction, one-on-one, always first, then take it from there. May God grant that we will not argue about greatness, but exalt the greatest one of all, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Father, the Holy Spirit. Amen.